I wanted to speak this evening a little bit about the topic of Bechiras Yisrael. The idea of a chosen nation. What does it mean that Klal Yisrael is a chosen nation? We're familiar with the term we often refer, or Jews are referred to as the Am HaNivchar, chosen nation. That term, Am HaNivchar, does not appear in Tanakh, to the best of my knowledge. We have some other terms, other expressions for Klal Yisrael, but Am HaNivchar is not a term. Chosen nation. What is Jewish chosenness? What does that mean that we're chosen? On a very simple level, one would think that Jews are chosen because of our specific relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that was forged at Sinai through Torah. If you take a look at the second source on the sheet, Umosha Allah El HaElokim Ve'ikroi Lov Hashem Min Ahar Lemor Ko Tomar Leves Yaakov V'Tagid Levnei Yisrael. Give over the following instruction to Klal Yisrael. Atem Re'isem Asher Asis Nemitzrayim Ve'aseh Eschem Alkan V'Nesharim Bavo Eschem Elai V'Yatah. And now Im Shamat Yishmul B'Koli Yishmat Mesprisi. If you listen to my words and you keep the mitzvos HaTorah, you will be a segula. Segula is a treasure. You'll be a treasured nation if you keep the mitzvos. Kili kol haaretz. Va'atem kili mamlechas kohanim v'goy kadosh. Eila advar mashet tedaber al b'nei Yisrael. These famous words echoed at Har Sinai. So this is where Klal Yisrael developed this relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it seems from the Pesukim. That's where we'll become a Am Segula. This certainly sounds like our Bechira, our chosenness, is connected with our very special mission in this world. And that is, as the Mekablei HaTorah, and the ones who are going to spread Torah to the rest of the world. Take a look at the first source on the sheet, Shemos Rabbah. Lakach nemar ksav lachos advar ma'ela ki alpi advar ma'ela. Torah tells us that write these words because based on these words, Medrash comments, she'ulule torasi shikibaltem lo ayisi makir eschem. If it wasn't for the Torah that I gave you, lo ayisi makir eschem, I wouldn't recognize you. Lo ayisi mabit bochem, I wouldn't even look at you. Mishar ovde kochavim. Lefikach karati itcha bris v'es Yisrael. Rav Yehuda bar Simon omer b'shem Rav Yeshua ben Levi. Omer lam HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'sh'avar hayitem nikram kishar umos. In the past you were like all the other nations. U'mishikibaltem torasi karati bris itimchem v'alisi eschem. When you accepted the Torah, I raised you up. So from the Medrash Rabbah in Shmos, it seems very clear that Jewish chosenness is mission-based. It's based on our mission. It's based on our relationship through Torah. There's nothing special about the Jews. We happen to have accepted the Torah. And because we accepted the Torah, so that elevated us and made us chosen. This unique role seemingly gave us the term, this chosenness, the term banim. We're told, Bonim atem Hashem Elokeichem. It's pasuk in Devarim, Perek Yud Dalet, Sefer Devarim. Bonim atem Hashem Elokeichem. We're called bonim, special relationship. We're the children of God. If it's true that Jewish chosenness is totally on Kabbalah HaTorah, if it's mission based, the fact that we're a chosen nation, so then that would imply that what? If we fail in our mission, if we don't uphold our job as the Mekablei HaTorah, so then we lose it. We're given a specific job. If we stand up to the test and we fill that role, so then we're chosen. And if we don't, so we lose our chosenness. Remember, as the Medrash said, if it wasn't for Torah, Hashem wouldn't look at us, He wouldn't consider us any different. And indeed, this seemingly sounds, at least, like what the Machlokas in Kiddushin and Daf Lamed Vav is speaking about. Take a look at the third source on the sheet. Bonim atem Hashem Elokeichem. You're bonim. Bizman sh'atem no'agim minhag bonim. When you act like bonim, you keep the mitzvos. Atem kruyim bonim. Ein atem no'agim minhag bonim. Ein atem kruyim bonim. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, it comes and it goes. It's up to you. You can lose it. Rabbi Meir Omer, but Rabbi Meir argues, Bein kach u bein kach atem kruyim bonim. Whether you're keeping the mitzvos, whether you're not, whether you're noheg minhag bonim, whether you're not noheg minhag bonim, we are still called bonim. Shenamar, and then he quotes a bunch of psukim that refer to the Jews while they're sinning, and yet they're still addressed as bonim. Bonim lo uman bam, zer marayim, bonim mashchisim. We're still referred to as bonim throughout a whole number of psukim. So you see, even when we're not upholding the mission, we're still called bonim. This is the machlokas of Yehuda, Rabbi Meir. What do we pass them like? So there's a Tshuvas HaRashba. Tshuvas HaRashba is talking about a whole other sugya. He's speaking about halachic issues, about whether you can charge ribbis to Jews who aren't observant. Do they have the status of bonim? Do they not have the... And they quote this Gemara as part of the discussion. And the Tshuvas HaRashba, this is in Chelek Aleph, Simon Kuf Sadi Dalit, 194, Chelek Aleph. He says, we paskin like Rabbi Meir. He says, even though normally we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, in this situation we paskin like Rabbi Meir. So what's the machlokes? According to Rabbi Yehuda, who we don't paskin like, it's what? It's mission-based. It's dependent on us. So you lose it, you can get it. Depends on how you're doing. But what does Rabbi Meir hold? That bein kach u bein kach, atem kruyim bonim. What does he hold? He holds that it's an inherent quality. It's not based on your mission. It's something intrinsic. It's inherent. It's essential. It's part of your essence. Essential. It's part of who you are. And therefore, whether you're doing it or not, right? I'm a man. I'm a boy. I'm a male. Whether I act like a male or I don't act like a male, I'm still a male. That's just who I am. But let's say I become the captain of the team. Someone could say, listen, we may have made you the captain, but you're not acting like the captain anymore. You lose your status. You're not being a captain anymore. It was given to you as a mission. It was given to you because you accepted something upon yourself. Now you're failing, so you lose the status. So this seeming machlokas and kiddushin seems to imply there are two ways to look at it. Is it an inherent milo, or is it mission-based? We paskin like Rabbi Meir, it sounds like we paskin inherent. The Sfas Emes on Parshas Yisro also learns something very unique in the Pesukim. Take a look at the Sfas Emes, fourth source in the sheet. Vayisem segula, that's the pasuk we referred to before. You will be for me a segula. So Sfas Emes is picking up on the lashon of Vayisem, Vayisem. Perish Vayisem, what is this lashon? Hiyisem, you will be. It's a lashon havaya, of creation. What does that mean? Of essence, of being. Shiyit havu havaya chadasha. That you will now be a new entity, a new creation. Svasemis tells us that at Mamad Har Sinai, we didn't just get a mission. We were actually transformed into a new entity. A havaya chadasha. A tzura chadasha. Kasher amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He then says, and the ger, shem is gayer, is able to somehow, right? That's the question you have to deal with. And what about a ger? He doesn't have this inherent quality. So he tries to say how it's able to be accepted. He can also get a havaya chadasha. Just like we weren't born with it, but the people who were living at Sinai, later in life, they were given this new reality. They were changed into something new. So you can have we have a paradigm for that. A ger could also go through that process. So the Sfas Emes seems to imply that this is not mission-based, not like the Medrash in Shmos Rabbah. Not like the pashtus of the psukim that say, if you listen to the Torah, im shemotish mum bikoli, ushmartim es prisi, viyisem li segula. Sfas Emes understands, no, that at Maimon Har Sinai, we experienced a new creation. We became something new. Truth is, many of you may be familiar with the Kuzari, the Sefer Kuzari. In the first chelik of the Kuzari there goes through the different levels of creations in this world. And he speaks about domain, simplest level. Someach, chai, medaber. We've spoken about this once or twice in VOD before. That's why some guys are smiling. And other reasons why guys are smiling. Right? If I had to ask you, what's your favorite domain? What's your favorite domain? You say a limestone, a rock. Favorite someach, maybe an oak tree. Chai is an animal. What's your favorite animal? Maybe a lion. Another level up in creation. And then a medaber. What's a medaber? A speaking entity. Unklus tells us in the beginning of the Torah that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu breathed life into man, he gave him a ruach memalulah. He gave him the ability to speak. Man is referred to as a medaber. Medaber. And the Kuzari, in the Sefer Kuzari, while the Jewish Chacham is speaking with the Melech of the Kuzari, of the Kuzarim, the Melech HaKuzar. So he says, and is there a level above this? And the Kuzar king says, no, I don't think so. I think that's all of creation. They're inanimate objects. There's the whole plant world, vegetation. They're animals. And then they're humans. And the Kuzari says, no, there's a whole nother level. There's a Jew. Now, obviously, he doesn't mean that a Jew is just like a really great person. Because a plant is not a really great rock. It's a whole new level of existence. And an animal is not just a sophisticated plant. He's a whole new existence. And a human is not just a fancy plant. He's also a whole new category. And the Kuzari says that then there's a category called a Jew. And the Pashtus of the Kuzari is certainly that what? That as Jews, we have a whole new existence, a whole new level, an inherent quality to us that sets us aside from the rest of mankind. There's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Let's take a look, see what the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos seems to say. Perek Gimel, Mishnah Yud Dalet, it's on the source sheet. Hu haya omer, chaviv adam, shenivra b'tzelem. Man is very beloved because he was created b'tzelem Elokim. Chaviv in Yisrael, shenikru banim lamakom. Chiba yisera nodas lahem, shenikru banim lamakom. Shenemar banim atem l'Hashem Elokeichem. What's Pashas of the Mishnah? Mishnah says, Chaviv Adam, man, perhaps mankind, is unique. Why? Because they were created b'tzelem Elokim. Then what's the next line? Chaviv in Yisrael, shenikru banim lamakom. Banim atem l'Hashem Elokeichem. What does that mean that we're banim? Just like a son, he just is who he is. You can have a great father and a child who just misbehaves all the time. But no matter how different he is from his father, he is who he is, just because of who he is. Bonim, a ben. And just like a ben is who he is, so to Klai Yisrael are who they are because they are who they are. What do we say in Havdalah? We say, Amavdil ben Kodesh l'chol, ben Or l'choshech, ben Yisrael la'amin. Is the difference between Kodesh and Chol, is the difference between Or and Choshech just like some added responsibilities? Or are these completely different entities? Or and Choshech, Kodesh and Chol. When we're told Ben Yisrael Amim, it doesn't just mean Amim with some added benefits. It sounds like it's saying two different entities. The Kuzari, though, goes on in this presentation. And the Melech of the Kuzar wants to know, where does this elevation come from? And I want to make it very clear. When you elevate a group, you either elevate a group or you push down another group. And I want to make it clear what's going on here. We're not saying that the rest of the world are really, like, there's really animals, and then there are Jews. And they're like fancy, sophisticated animals, and those are Gentiles, and then there are Jews. We're not saying that. If we're given added responsibility, the way we spoke about it in Vada often, was that humans occupy this world. The Jew is given an ability to transcend this world, this existence, and to connect to things that are beyond this existence. That's not a curse against the rest of society or the rest of mankind, that you guys are really these lowly things. No, you are great. You are perfect. You're excellent. And in this world, this is, you are the pinnacle of this world. But the Jew has an added ability to go beyond a little bit. Sometimes when you give one person a little bit added benefit, so you're taking away from everybody else. And sometimes you're just giving him a little extra bonus, but everyone else doesn't go down. When I give one child a candy bar, doesn't mean the rest of my children have now been relegated to a sub-child level. Let's keep going. So what does the Kuzari say? The Kuzari wants to know, where does this come from? This added level, this elevation. And the Chacham says, well, you know where it comes from? It actually started all the way back with Adam. And if you follow from Avraham through his children, there was an inherent gene, almost. A pedigree that was passed from father to son, Rebbe to student. It's not a pedigree, it's not a gene in the sense that it goes biologically from person to person. But it's somehow transferred through the families. And he goes on a long arichos. Ozon chelak alf of the Kuzari. He refers to this gene as the Inyan Eloki, the divine essence. And he says how God gave certain people a certain spark of the divine that passes on, that can be passed on from one to another. So right now we've accomplished one thing. We have utterly confused ourselves about what is being chosen. Is it inherent or is it mission-based? Is it from creation? Is it from Adam, from Abraham? Or is it from Sinai? I mean, all the sources, the Sfas Emes said, at Sinai we got a whole new essence. Well, what about the Kuzari, about going through the generations and this Inyan Eloki? Is it inherent? Is it mission-based? If it's inherent, how does it go from Rebbe to student? What does that mean? If it's mission-based and it's about like carrying on a mission, a message to the world, I understand. A teacher could pass it on to a student. How does a teacher pass on to a student inherent quality? So what's going on? What is Jewish chosenness all about? I think the beginning of the answer, and this is certainly a very deep concept, but I think on our level, to be able to try to understand, even just a little bit, to try to scratch the surface, to understand a little bit about how, right, to really understand how HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world and how he views different people and different things, that's obviously beyond our abilities. But to try to scratch the surface, rak tzat, lavin, a little bit. So in Derech Hashem, if you take a look at Derech Hashem, so Derech Hashem there has a description of creation. And I think therein lies part of the explanation. And the Derech Hashem explains as follows. Originally, Adam HaRishon was created with the Inyan Eloki, this elevated status. And this elevated status was going to be the Nachala of all of mankind. All people, all humans, were going to have this Inyan Eloki, this divine essence. However, because of the Chet, mankind lost this. And for a few generations, as the Derech Hashem says, the ability to regain it was there. And the option and the opportunity for nations to recapture this Inyan Eloki was there. And yet through Dor HaFlaga, the Dor HaMabul, Dor HaFlaga, the different nations balked. They passed up this opportunity to take grasp, to reclaim the Inyan Eloki. But there was a man named Avraham Avinu. And if you take a look at the Rambam in Hilchos Avodos Kochavim, take a look at the first parak, he very beautifully, poetically there describes the life of Avraham Avinu, how Avraham emerged out of a culture that was completely paganistic. And he was able to find HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that by doing that, he earned for himself a special role in the world. And this moment in history was when Avraham reclaimed the Inyan Eloki for himself. That Inyan Eloki that was lost by Adam, and was sitting there waiting to be reclaimed, Avraham Avinu, through his actions, not inherently. There are certain svarim that say that it was inherent with Avraham Avinu, but we're going to ignore that for now because it takes us a whole other direction. But Avraham Avinu, through his actions, and that's certainly how the Rambam presents things. The Rambam makes it sound like Bechiras Yisrael is mission-based. Because he starts discussing Abraham. And Abraham doesn't do it because of being born with any special role. But rather, Abraham on his own, through his actions, grabs hold of this Inyan Eloki. And he passes this from generation to generation. He teaches his children, ki yedativ, that he was mitzaveh to his children. And he goes on to describe how every generation there was psoles. Yaakov had 12 children who were all able to grab hold, 12 shvatim were able to grab hold of the Inyan Eloki. And what happened when we arrived at Sinai? When we arrived at Sinai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Gentile nations another opportunity to reclaim the Inyan Eloki. And he went from nation to nation and he offered them the Torah. And when they refused, and Klal Yisrael chose Naseh V'Nishma, so that act, that volition, that choice, that act of volition, to choose the Torah, so that gave, enter the Sfas Emes, that gave the nation as a nation, because before that, it was Yechidim, it was Abraham, to one child, and not to the other child, because one child took hold and one child didn't. But when Klal Yisrael accepted the Torah, the nation, Knesset Yisrael as an entity, became chosen. We say in Birchas HaTorah, Asher Bachar Banu Mikol Am, V'Nasan Lanu Es HaTorah. You chose us. First you chose us. And you gave us, then you gave us the Torah. So again, mission-based, or is it inherent? Which one comes first? But you see how the two interplay with each other, because the inherent quality to be chosen was given to the world with Adam. And Klal Yisrael, though, through their own actions, acquired it for the nation. And what did they acquire when they chose the mission? What were they given then when they said Naseh V'Nishma? That's when they were given the inherent quality as a nation. And now they can't lose it. Oh, but I thought if it's mission-based, then you can lose it. No, because mission-based, choosing, being the flag bearers of Torah, that was what gained us the inherent quality. But at Sinai, as a nation, we acquired that inherent quality for everyone. We're told already by Yoshua that when Yoshua, with the sin of Achan, so the Gemara in Sanhedrin, and Daf Mem Dalet Amud Aleph, Darshan's the Pasuk there says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Chata Yisrael, and that's where the Gemara makes its famous drasha, that Afa Pi Shechata Yisrael. Right? We have to put a pause in the Pasuk. Afa Pi Shechata Yisrael. That even though we sin, we're still Yisrael. Because once we accepted upon ourselves the Torah, and we gained this quality of the Ama Nivchar, so then we can't lose it. Now this, much more than Jewish chosenness, is a, you know, a pride to wear, which it is, but it's also a tremendous responsibility. And it's so linked, as you see from its very inception, to our unique mission in this world, to be ambassadors of Torah, to bring the mission, the Word of God, to the whole world. It emerges then that there's really a dual nature to the Bechiras Yisrael. Right? We set up the Chakira. Is it A or is it B? And like every good Chakira, the answer is that it's both. There's two dinim in Klal Yisrael. On the one hand, Klal Yisrael, on our most basic level, we have an inherent difference from all the other nations. We are different. But a whole nother level, a whole additional level, is that we have a responsibility towards Torah and to be ambassadors of Torah to the world. This is now so beautifully reflected in the Pesukim in Yisra. Take a look back. Shmos, Parashat Kes, the second source. Take a look at what the Pasuk says. Bisem li segula mikol ha'amim, v'atem tzim li ma'amlechas konim v'goy kadosh, comments the Malbim. What's a segula? A segula is a treasure. And the Malbim says, Klal Yisrael is a segula because they're inherently different. Am segula means we are inherently and essentially different. Yet the Pasuk goes on and says, goy kadosh. What does it mean to be a goy kadosh? Goy kadosh, the Malbim says, that's not inherent. That's kfi ba'asav. That's based on our actions, ba'aseinu. Based on how we act. Everyone can be am kadosh. Every Jew can be am kadosh because that's inherent. That's just part of being a Jew. You're born a Jew, you're an am segula, excuse me. You're an am segula just for being born a Jew. But to be an Am Kadosh, we're even told in Parshas Kedoshim, Kedoshim Tihiyu, go out and be Kedoshim. You have to go out and do it. It's a chiyuv on us. We have a responsibility to make ourselves into an Am Kadosh. There is one problem, obviously, with the Pasuk, and that is that the Pasuk started out and said, if you'll listen to me, you'll be a segula. So we're going to have to get back to that. Let's go back for a second out of that Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. I think it reads so beautifully now. Take a look at the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. This Mishnah is not talking to the Goyim. It happens to refer to them as well, the first line of the Mishnah. But this Mishnah is referring to us. And now take a look at what it tells us. Chaviv Adam Shenivra B'Tselem. First of all, you should know, Reuven, you are Chaviv. Why? Because you were created B'Tselem Alokim. That's your most basic level. You share that with the rest of the world. Chaviv and Yisrael Shenivra B'Tselem L'Makom. In addition to this, you're a Ben. What's a Ben? Intrinsically different. Chaviv and Yisrael Shenivra B'Tselem Kli Chemda. What's the third clause in the Mishnah? That Kli Yisrael is Chaviv. Why? Because they were given a Kli Chemda. What's that Kli Chemda? That which the world was created with, kilekach tov nasati lochem torasi al tazovi. Every Jew is a human being, and that means he's created b'tzelem Elokim. In addition, every Jew has the inherent quality of being part of the Am Segula. And on a third level, we have an even additional level, and that is when we are nohei minhag banim, when we're keeping the Torah. Then, not only do we have our Tzelem Elokim, not only do we have our intrinsic and inherent quality to us, but we're actually fulfilling our mission in the world. And that is the pinnacle of mankind, of a Jew. And that's what the Mishnah here in Pirkei Avos, I think the real pshat in this Mishnah is. It's telling us the three levels of being a Jew. Rav Soloveitchik wrote a very famous essay called Kol Dodi Do Fate. And in there, it's been translated into an essay called Fate and Destiny. The Rav finds two different terms, fate and destiny. Goral and Yehud. Let's take a look at the quote from the Rav on the source sheet here. Fate is a purely factual existence. We'll have a perush afterwards. Devoid of meaning, direction, purpose, but subject to the force of the environment into which the individual has been cast by providence without any prior consultation. You are thrown into a certain existence. That's your fate. The eye of fate has the image of an object. I'm an object in a fate existence. I don't have choice. I'm thrown into an existence. As an object, he appears as made and not as a maker. His being is empty, lacking any inwardness and independence or selfhood. That's fate. What's destiny? Destiny is an active mode of existence. One wherein man confronts the environment into which he was thrown, possessed of an understanding of his uniqueness, of his ability to struggle with his external circumstances, without forfeiting either his independence or his selfhood. Man is born like an object, dies like an object, but possesses the ability to live like a subject, like a creator, an innovator, who can impress his own individual seal upon his life and can extricate himself from a mechanical type of existence and enter into a creative, active mode of being. Beautiful, beautiful words. What the Rav basically tells us is that there's fate. You're born into fate. You don't have a choice. That's just the situation you're born with. But destiny is, what are you going to do with your fate? And we're all born into fate situations. We're all born in certain families, certain places, certain social classes, certain inborn abilities. And if you're a person of fate, you sit back and you say, hey, this is what I am. What can I do? But you're a person of destiny, so you forge your own future. You take what you were created with, and you make something of it. You're not a object, you're a subject. You don't sit back, but you go and you carve for yourself your own destiny. The Rav ends, I don't have it on the sheet here, but he says, man's task in this world, according to Judaism, is to transform fate into destiny. A passive existence into an active existence. An existence of compulsion, perplexity, and muteness into an existence replete with a powerful will, with resourcefulness, daring, and imagination. It's beautiful. And the Rav tells us that there are two brisim, there are two covenants between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. There's the fate covenant and the destiny covenant. The covenant of Goral, of fate, is the fact that all Jews are part of the Am Segula. He doesn't use the term Am Segula. But we all share the same fate. And there was no time greater than the Holocaust where that was seen. Where Hitler, Yimach Shemo, didn't matter how religious you were, how long your payas were. All it mattered was, are you a Jew? Well, then you share the same fate as the rest of Judaism, the rest of the Jewish nation. But the fate, but the bris of destiny is reserved for those Jews who are committed to Torah. The future of the nation, not what happens to us as objects, but what we will do as a people is dependent on those who hold up the flag of Torah. Those who accept upon themselves the covenant of destiny to make something of the faith that we were given. And I think these elements the Rav speak about, of being faith community and being a destiny community, are the two elements that we've been speaking about throughout. Am Segula and Goy Kadosh. We're all part of the same faith community. And that's just an inherent quality of being a Jew. However, to be the Mamlechus Kohanim, the Goy Kadosh, that requires being part of the destiny community. That requires being part of the destiny community. The community that actually is committed to Torah and works off of that. Okay, we have 4 more minutes. I want to just end with a very, very beautiful idea, because until now, we've been explaining that there's a certain basic level, an inherent quality of being a Jew, and then if you actually keep the Torah, so that's a whole other step up. One builds off of the other. Rav Kook takes the same idea, but he sort of flips it in a little bit of a different direction, and I think it's a really beautiful idea. Rav Kook has a famous letter, Tov Kuf Nun Hei, where he's responding to the Ridvaz in Europe, I believe. The Ridvaz made some accusations, not accusations, but charged Rav Kook with certain things, and Rav Kook felt the need to defend himself. One of the primary issues was his defense of the Chilonim and his working together with the Chilonim, with the Jews who were just not just Jews who were struggling with their Avodas Hashem, but Jews who really thrown off completely the yoke of mitzvos and of Torah. And in the letter, he says that the reason why he works with them is because there are two elements to being a Jew. And even if the Chilonim don't have the second element, the Maisit, the Goy Kadosh, but they still have the Am Segula. They're still part of the Jewish nation. And in that discussion, he adds in one extra piece, which is so beautiful. And I'm going to try not to go 2 or 3 minutes over, but I really want to get this idea out, because it's really very, very important. Rav Kook, I won't even read it inside. It's on the source sheet, but Rav Kook says that the second level, Kfi Ma'aseinu, of being a Goy Kadosh, of being committed Jews, doesn't build off of the first one only. But in fact, when we are committed Jews, and when we are acting as a Mamlechas Kohanim and Goy Kadosh, it triggers the full expression of the first level, of the Am Segula, of the inherent quality. In other words, if you're just a Jew because you're a Jew and you're born a Jew, yeah, you have an inherent quality above the rest of everybody else, but it's so minimal. It's there, but it's not expressing itself fully. However, when you also dedicate yourself to the Torah, and you bring the two together, which was what happened at Sinai, so then you trigger the full expression of the Am Segula, of the inherent quality. And that only through Kima Mitzvos and Limud HaTorah, and building ourselves as Bnei Torah and as Ovdei Hashem, does that allow us to fully express our inherent quality. And it's so true. There's so many Jews who walk around, unfortunately, and they live lives that are so devoid of the spirituality of what Judaism has to offer. And yet, if they would accept that upon themselves, so it would unleash within them an inherent good, and you see that sometimes in Bali Tshuva, that once they jump in and once they start, beautiful elements of their personality start to be expressed. And if we want to connect to who we really are, so the only way we can do that is through Torah. And really, just to conclude, why is this so important? And by the way, that now explains so perfectly. Cook doesn't say this, but I think it's Mamish Pshat in the Pasuk in Yisrael. Remember, the beginning of that Pasuk of Am Segula said, if you keep the mitzvos, you'll be an Am Segula. And the Malbim said, Am Segula means you're inherently different. What? The beginning of the Pasuk said, if you keep the mitzvos. But according to what we're saying now, so the pasuk reads beautifully. You want to be an Am Segula, the real Am Segula? You want it to really shine like the way it is? So if you keep the mitzvos, then you'll be the real Am Segula. Then you'll really express the beauty of what it means to be Banim Lamakom. I think, just to end, I think this really can be a very important tool in Avodas Hashem. And I'm not going to read it inside, but you can read the two or three lines from Rabbeinu Yonah. Because sometimes when we're facing sin, and we're in a situation where we have a taiva to do something we shouldn't be doing, sometimes a very nice tachbul is to realize who you really are. When you're being lazy, and you're not really standing up and living up to who you really could be. Not standing up, but living up to who you really could be. So all we have to remember is who we are. Remember the greatness of being an Am Segula and a Goy Kadosh. And hopefully that will give us the ability to push ourselves. And with Hashem's help, we should all be zoche, not only to connect the Mamad Sinai and the connection, the level of Goy Kadosh, of keeping the mitzvos, but we should allow this to unleash within us the Am Segula so that it can radiate in full form and we can connect to what it means to really be a Jew.